What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
Dude, all I know is I've changed rooms, but I need to figure out my angle too, because I
look cute.
The last episode we did, when I looked at the clips we posted, I looked so stoned. I looked like I didn't even have my eyes open.
Well, you always look stoned though. Like you're always stoned.
Well, I'm not stoned right now, but I think it's a combination of maybe being a little stoned most of the time and then not being able to see. So, and I wear progressives, so I need to look down when I'm like looking at you on the computer. So I almost look like I have, like my eyes are fucking three quarters closed.
When did your eyesight start to go? Like when 40. does that hit? 40?
Okay. 40.
Tom's experiencing that right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel so sad. He's so sad. He came home, like one eye is like far, one is close.
And he did the contacts like that?
Well, yeah, they did it like that, and I can't they're bothering him.
I can't do it. I had to take it out. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, so now he's like,
I went in saying,
like,
I can't see on set. I can't read my fucking, just so you know, because you're going to be directing me very soon.
Great.
I need my sides printed large, regular size, and ideally, well, you know, it's different because we're not shooting in the dark. Like, I'm usually in, like, some dark fucking cave or place or dungeon or some shit.
Oh, one warehouse is fucking dark. So the strip club is dark. So.
Well,
luckily you just like, no, the warehouse, you're just like, well, I don't want to give too much away. You don't
but
say
I don't
much.
Have that much to say.
You
there.
Don't say much in those locations.
Like in the diner, in the plate, in the car, like I have dialogue. Like that's fine because I can hide it under my seat and I can see it. But like if I'm on set where I need my glasses because it's dark, I need... Yeah. The sides printed bigger. I can't do mini sides anymore. And I need my glasses and I need a fucking light to be able to see. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Or I need an iPad that it's like made larger so I'm able to see what it fucking says.
God,
so I tried the contacts and I can't wear them because you need one far, one near in order to be farsighted and wear them and still be able to read.
That just
and
like
so
makes me dizzy. Like I can't imagine like...
It makes you fucking sick is what it makes you.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so sad and I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, so sorry.
Did you give him shit? Because
yeah,
old?
Well, kind of. I was just
of course you did.
Oh, bitch. My God, you're old. You're really old. You're fucking old. I'm supposed to have the baby with you. You're old. You're losing your vision.
yeah, basically.
Oh, my God, it's crazy. It's so nuts. It's Cody's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Cody. You made it another year, you big boy.
Happy birthday, Cody. Everybody on Patreon. Everybody follow us on Patreon. Submit your questions.
Scout's very upset, by the way, that you guys aren't sending in more questions. I think everyone that is like that's been a listener for long enough that feels super comfortable, they've sent in their questions already.
Or they've asked us in person.
In person, yeah. Exactly.
We give a lot of advice at these conventions now. A lot of advice, which I love. It's good.
Great, right?
It's great. Oh man, how have you been? How's everything going in your life?
Nothing is going on here. Tell me what. Aside from Carter won first place in his science fair yesterday.
Oh fuck yeah! What was his science fair project?
He wanted to know what coins were made of because nobody uses like money anymore. Oh. So we were like going through change and he found a bucket of, because I went to Coinstar the other day with Jagger and we took like all of our change from our piggy banks and all the change from around the house and we turned it into a get like, you know, like a cash card that we can use at the market and get stuff and whatever. So mm-hmm. I had like $60 of change that was just like, or whatever that was sitting, but a lot of it was foreign change too. And Carter was like, what's that? I'm like, oh, this is from Canada. This is from here. This is from there. Like all the different countries and kind of showing him. And mm-hmm. he was really interested in like what they were made of and how much they were and who was on the front. And I was like, God, kids don't think about that stuff because we don't use money anymore. I always always use money, but like kids nowadays don't. It's like plastic is their cash, you know, if mm-hmm. they even, or they just Venmo or fucking PayPal or whatever shit they do. So we melted down. Did you know before 1982, pennies were almost purely made of copper? And then they started mixing copper with other things because it got too expensive. So when you like take a blowtorch to a penny that's from before 1982 and one that's from after 1982, they will melt differently. Like the inside of one of the 82, one won't, like the 82 will turn black and the other one will like have something drop out of it. And then, so it's like, and how they used to be made of silver and gold, and then, you know, this, and, you know.
So Carter and you are with blowtorches.
Well, no, that's Daddy's part. Daddy did the blowtorch. I did all the fun facts.
I'm imagining Daniel with a blowtorch.
Oh, fuck yeah. But I was like, you know, he's like, wait, so if it's this year, that means this penny's 33 years old. Whoa, Mom. Like, that kind of stuff was interesting, fun facts. And if you hold a quarter on this quarter, which I never knew this, if you hold a quarter and look at its side, you can see it's sandwiched. Copper is sandwiched in the center. I thought you're showing me your vagina right now.
No.
He's licking your legs. Do you have lotion on?
He has anxiety. The older he gets, the more anxiety. What happens.
I'm giving him anxiety. You know what, Scout? I hate to tell you this.
It's me.
The older you get, the more anxiety you have.
Great.
Or maybe that's just me.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome. Yeah.
So he was he saw it when he was like, he had like walked through the hallway to go to like specials class or something yesterday during school. And he saw his project and he saw that he got the ribbon for first place. So when I picked him up before we went to actually go into the science fair, he was like over the fucking moon that he won first place. But well, now how do you keep up with that? He's like, next year I have to win first place again.
Well, that's like, good. Well, that's good. At least you have a kid that fucking cares about school.
Well, I have one. The other one's gotten three bad fucking reports this week.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Jagger's been written up three times this week at School Scout. Three.
Fuck yeah, that's right, Jagger. That's right, Jagger.
You know what he got written up for? He got written up for kicking a kid on the playground because he wasn't getting up fast enough to play with him.
Oh, shit.
And then for tapping a kid on his bottom is what they wrote. For tapping a kid on his bottom and then pulling at his waistband.
Oh, so he's like a little, he's a little pusher. He's just a little, he's a little pusher. What's going on? Why is he pushing?
I don't know.
Why are you bothering other people? What's going
on? Honestly, it's his fucking Fortnite. He plays his stupid fucking Fortnite games. And I think
that's
what it is.
You gotta be so careful of those fucking video games, dude. Those video games
are. I gotta get him into martial arts.
Yeah. Or wrestling.
Yeah.
You know,
see Carter. You've seen Carter try to strangle Jagger though. When they fight, Carter goes for the throat. Like he goes to like choke him. I had to actually show Carter what it felt like for me. I put pressure on his neck to be like, "This is what it feels like when you do this to your brother." And he kind of like had a little freak out. I was like, "This could kill him. Do you understand? Like, this could kill
your
brother.
If I'm not around, you know.
Well, that's the thing is I'm not around half the time. And if it gets quiet, I'm like, oh fuck, Carter's killing Jagger. Like I don't know if he's actually doing it or not. And then they run around the house to talk about Michael Myers all the time. Jagger's like, obsessed with Michael Myers in Halloween.
This is great.
Chasing him, like pretending he's got a knife and shit. No, it's not great. It's fucking scary.
Oh, shit. Well, maybe it's all those fucking cons that you take them to. Think about that.
Don't blame the conventions or horror movies on the desire for him
to
act it out.
It comes down to the parents, man.
You know?
That's crazy.
It's just curious.
Okay, going back to the science fair project.
Yes.
Let's just be real, man. Let's be real. What did you think about the other fucking kids' science fair projects? Was Carter's like the best?
No, actually.
Really?
No, I mean, there was, because it's like pre-K, you know, they break it up into three things. They, in his group, like his grade, yes, his was, but they do it.
Yeah.
There's three different categories they base it on too. So there's like a chant. Are you putting nose drops in your nose? What is that?
No, this is from Thailand. It's like a herbal peppermint that you to get your nose sniff. Unclogged. It's amazing. It's the best. I have so many of these.
Are you sick again? You are.
Well, I drank wine last night.
The fuck is the matter with you?
So I feel sick. I just did a wine tasting. Like literally like five little baby things of wine.
For what? What are you wine tasting for?
I went to, so my really great friend, producer, fabulous actor, Anthony Del Negro. He was in a film at the Santa Barbara Film Festival. So I went to Santa Barbara to support him at the film festival. And last night, Bradley Cooper got, you know,
on his hands and knees and begged you to marry him.
Yeah. Just kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're Tom. So sorry. We're getting married. Tom's okay with it. It's going to be a throuple.
Amazing.
It's really great.
You can be a throuple. I'd be a throuple with Bradley Cooper.
Brad Pitt gave Bradley Cooper the award and it was really, really cool. But anyways, it was really awesome to support my friend Anthony. I haven't seen him ever act before, and I cast him in my movie, so it was really cool to watch him perform.
Did you go with Tom, or did you go by yourself?
It was Anthony, his boyfriend, and then his friend Owsley, and myself. So it was
his friend's name, Owsley.
Owsley, yeah,
Owsley. That's a cool name.
Isn't that a cool name? Isn't that a cool name? I know Al. Everybody calls him Al.
Really, and everybody thinks it's AL with a like. They're not like thinking about it.
Yeah. But Aunt, he was getting really nervous and I relate. I mean, you and I, even when we go to carpets, it's a nerve wracking thing, especially like doing the interviews, also screening a movie at a film festival and hoping that people like it, you know, and there's also people are rating them at those festivals.
Right.
So I went to support and calm his nerves. And you know, of course, the first thing he wanted to do was like, let's drink. I need a drink before I do this.
Was there a Q&A after the screening?
There was a Q&A. It was only with a few of the other cast members. Ant didn't go down because he had a small part. But, you know, Anthony, he's a powerhouse, man. I admire this man so much. He helped cast it and he helped the production with finance. So he's nice. He's multiple, you know, well, he's a producer as well. He does all the movies that I do in Kentucky.
Got it.
He's fabulous. And I just, you know, he deserved like all the love and the support and, you know, following his many endeavors. It just reminds me of me. When he's got like so many different 18,000
things going on.
I'm like, this is so great. I'm so glad that there's someone else that I can relate to that is exactly like me and is at a level that, you know, I just admire and he's so humble and so sweet. I'm gonna fucking tell him to listen to this episode. Like, this is how I feel about you, bitch. I love you.
Are you cast? Is your movie cast?
My movie is cast. Now, like, offers are going out to people that are, like, last minute. So we're doing all of that right now. There's one role, your brother, that I'm trying to figure out right now. There's an actor that I really, really want, but he's also attached to a show right now. So they're trying to figure out if we can make it work. But I'm having – dude, it is so stressful.
Was that the role you wanted Connor to play?
No, Connor, I wanted to play the crime analyst. Cool. Yeah. Which I waited till the last minute. I was like, so can you? And I think I asked Connor like three times and he was like, I can't. I was like, I get it. He's like, you're so you're busy. You've got your own movie. I was like, I get it. But location scouting, I've been location scouting for the past, it feels like 90 fucking years, but week and a half. And it's so disheartening because
everything's so expensive.
Everything is so bloody expensive here in Los Angeles.
Yep.
And the rate that they say on the websites or wherever you find these locations are not actual rate anymore. Everybody's going up in price.
Oh, yeah.
So every location, I mean, we have like, you read the fucking script.
Yeah.
We've got like 12 locations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plus exteriors. So every place is quoting us $7,000 to $10,000 a day.
God.
I'm like, who? I'm sorry, what? And then I was talking to Anthony yesterday because I was like just venting.
Right, I guess. Yeah.
And he was like, I get all my locations for free in Kentucky. He's like, why are you guys fucking filming in LA? I was like, I don't know. But this is what I've been given. And so I'm trying to execute it. And you know, so then when I fall in love with a place that I think is in our budget, and I bring my stunt coordinator, I bring my DP, and we're like going through like the stunt work, and I'm like, will this work? Then I get a call from my producer going, they're quoting too much. Like, what do you mean?
Oh, no. They need to figure that shit out first.
I know. But these locations, they know. They know that they can do that.
Yeah.
It's also like people are coming back to work now from being on strike.
Yeah.
So they know what they can get because people need things.
Fuck.
So I'm dealing with that. So I'm going back location scouting on Monday. I've yet to find your diner. Your diner, I fell in love with this one diner, and you know, they had done $3,000, like $3,500, and then it got bought by a new owner. So we thought, in the last fucking week? Yeah. So then we contacted them. They quoted us $6,000 for the day.
Wow.
I was like, I can't. I was like, no. I cannot. No. I can't. There are things that I'm fighting for, like a fucking police station. Amy, if you're listening, I'm getting that fucking police station. She listens too.
So when are you going to do, since you're not going to have any time for rehearsals, what's your prep like for actors? I mean, you're just sort of like, you guys just on the day kind of go, or how are you sort of breaking it down?
I'm casting people that I trust and I know. Yeah. And I think it's going to be kind of like the process that I like. Obviously in my tech scout week, I'll probably contact a few of you guys and see if there's any questions that you guys have or you want to go over anything. But I think on the day, especially, there's going to be things that you guys are going to discover with one another that I feel like might be more authentic just to kind of, plus I don't want to like rehearse it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody likes rehearsal. Like, you guys got this.
You guys are veterans. You fucking got this. I'm not casting anyone that hasn't like, you know, like you
worked
got this.
A lot.
Yeah. Could you imagine if I was that Danielle, we're having a table read. We're going over every scene. We're rehearsing it over and over for 3 days.
I've done that.
I know. I have too. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Why is it? Why do some directors want to work like that? I mean, I get it if it's like a part that you have to do that. But
I think maybe they're nervous. Maybe they're nervous. They're not trusting. That's the fucking thing. Mm. They don't trust. If you have too much control and you don't trust, that's what I love about filmmaking. It's a community effort.
All the magic happens in the moments that aren't planned.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, always. I was just watching Pretty Woman the other night thinking about how when Richard Gere closes the case on her jewelry and when she goes to put her hand in and she starts laughing hysterically, they cut right as she turns to look at the camera. Because obviously and that's like one of the most authentic parts of that movie for me anyway, because it's fucking real.
Yeah.
Happy accidents, you know?
I love those little moments. I know when we were even like with stunt stuff, like obviously there's little beats that we've got to hit, but a lot, I find myself, especially like in these like second visits of these locations and we're like trying to like solidify them. I've definitely caught myself going, well, I want the actor to come in. I can tell you where I want them to be, but like I want them to come in and feel where they want to go first before we plant it. But there's like little A, B, C, D moments.
Well, you're going to need those, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything in between can be filled in.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to be going fast, baby. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be going fast. Let's go. We got one day at this location. Let's get it. At least we did do something which was really great. We separated the beginning warehouse with the ending warehouse, so it's two different locations. And the first location is at where the strip club is. So our main bad guy, who we've yet to announce and we're not going to announce, will be at one location for 2 days. So my strip club stuff, I can get a full day, and then I can get on my second day, half day.
There you go.
For things that I like didn't get or I need to get.
Oh, good.
And then I can do a half day on the beginning warehouse shit that's small, and then leave the third day for the massive ending of the film. Yeah.
How many days are you're only, how long are you shooting the ending of the movie? How many days is on your schedule?
One day, baby. First week, one day. That is March 1st, Danielle. Get ready.
I don't have all the shit to do.
You have not. Yeah, you have, you, yeah. Your day is easy.
I'm there if you need me.
Yeah, that's your day is, Danielle, just sit here.
Yep. Those are my favorite.
Here, react.
I do the best off-camera work.
Correct. Wait, what?
I'm just kidding.
My best work is off camera. That's and the really Oscar goes to Danielle for off camera.
Speaking of Oscars, I'm finally like feel like a human being where I've got shit done in my house and I'm like a normal person now for some reason because I haven't been traveling. And so I've been going on down the list of all the nominees for Best Picture. So I started this morning, I was watching Anatomy of a Fall. Did you see that movie?
No.
It's a French, well, I guess it's French. They speak English in it as well, but I'm three quarters of the way through it. And it's kind of like how I became obsessed with that show, The Staircase, that was on. It's the same sort of like whodunit. Could be an accident, could be a murder, could be suicide. I'm so fascinated with those. And I think it's the same thing in like real life, the true crime shit that I watch. It's also along those lines. And I would fucking love to do a movie like this. The lead actress, I'm going to read, best foreign language film. So it won the Golden Globe Award for best foreign language film, which I didn't even know. 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. So Justine Treat is the director. Who's the actress? I have to look. Anyway, I highly, 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 highly recommend it. It's a French legal drama thriller film.
Oh, cool.
Is what they're calling
it. Is the film nominated? Or the actors nominated? Obviously,
it is. I believe Sandra Hüller. I don't know if she's nominated or not. She should be. I don't think I've seen a better performance than this woman's performance in decades. Fucking decades. Yeah, you've got to check it out. It's basically a woman's being accused of killing her husband who fell from three stories up in their French chalet, and her son, who's partially blind, finds him. And of course they think that, you know, they got into a fight, the husband and wife, and she pushed him. And it seems to me like the scenes are written, there's so much dialogue and they're so long that I'm wondering how many pages they shot in a day. Like, if the movie's so fucking seamless, I can't tell where the scene ends and another scene begins. I don't know if they shot, because it just flows like they shot everything in the same, like they shot, you know, third 20 minutes of the movie, which is like a big fight or a big argument or a conversation that doesn't go anywhere other than what them, you know, two people talking. It seems like they shot it all continuously. And there's so much dialogue. I'm wondering how the fuck they did it unless they had massive rehearsals of like a play. Like it literally reads like a play.
Yeah, you would have to. In some way, you would have to. Yeah. I know Shia LaBeouf. He did something like that. The movie that you were telling me to watch, right?
Yeah, so good.
Which was kind of, so you really like that style.
I do. I really like that style.
Continuous scenes. That's what I'm trying to do for our movie.
Yeah, but there's no like, stunts you have to do. If it's just you
just
and I.
Just dialogue.
Like, I would love to do that stuff with you.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be a great challenge. That's why I loved Hard Candy. When I read Hard Candy and I wanted it so bad.
I think I wanted it too.
I was like, this is
the type
of movie.
Did I see you on that audition? Maybe I saw you on that audition.
I got pinned
for
that.
I ran into you a couple times.
I got pinned for that movie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was a bummer to like lose that shit.
I'd have been so jealous. No, I'm just kidding.
He fucking killed it.
Yeah.
Elliot Page killed it.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, that's what started him, you know?
Yeah. That's the dream.
It's those movies. Oh, we just got to fucking write those types of films for you and I, you know? Obviously, horror is really great.
I hired a manager So I'm working with a management team, which I'm very happy about because it's been a very long time. Cool. I think I'm finally, I know, I think we talked about it a little bit last week. I think I'm finally ready to like get back in the ring. Like cool. I feel like I had, you know, Carter and then I was on to baby number two with IVF. And then I sort of, you know, then we had COVID right as Jagger turned a year old when I was like ready to start working again. And then, you know, I think just moving and just all this stuff was sort of happening, which is life. I had to be there for my kids. You know, my kids are now in pre-K and first grade. Like they understand that mommy's coming back. It's different. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, also I'm not nursing. So that's a lot easier. I feel like I'm fine. Like I reached out to all the directors of the movies I've done in the last 2 years and asked for clips of stuff that hasn't come out yet. Like, can I get that scene? Can I get that scene? Can I get that? Putting my reel together and getting headshots up. And I'm just like ready to start finding, like, I'm ready to be an actor again. I'm ready. Cool. 'Cause all the stuff that's been coming my way has been stuff that's been given to me. It's not stuff that I fought for. Same and I kind of want to fight again or make shit, you know, I wanted to get back in the ring and make shit happen for me.
It's exhausting fighting in the ring. It's really,
I mean, I felt
really
a little,
exhausting.
I went out with David last Friday. We went to go see the Eagles and I had this conversation with him and I almost felt like boasting or like, it made me feel uncomfortable to tell my partner that like, I was ready to take my life back in some weird way. Even though it's like, this is who I always was. And I wonder if other moms feel that way. You know, like,
100%,
is there judgment from the husband or the wife or the partner in the relationship where there's kids involved? Or maybe there isn't. Maybe there isn't. Maybe they've just been happily living, you know, being a homemaker. And then there are no kids. And now they're like, I feel like I'm over. I mean, the first year I was married, I remember telling our therapist, I am overqualified to be Cinderella is what I was saying. I was in this big house by myself, cleaning, because that's what I do when I have anxiety, and which is getting worse as I'm getting older. And I didn't feel like I was like contributing or like it was not enough for me to feel, I don't know. It didn't fulfill me. It wasn't enough for me. And I'm ready to do it again, but there's this like weird, you know, like, oh, because David's held a lot of the weight in the house while I have been doing conventions and taking care of the kids and like doing the mom stuff. He's held the weight. And then now I'm like, okay, cool. Thanks for holding the weight for me while I've done this up, the mom thing. Now I'm ready to do the me thing.
Now
you got to hold the weight again while I go do the me thing. And, you know, I don't know how that works with the, so I guess that's where the insecurity or the uncomfortableness, which I think made me feel like I was boasting or bragging about like, hey, I'm ready to, you know, I'm getting in fighting shape. I'm ready to like fucking kill it. You know, I did my IPL laser on my face and I'm like, got my new hair extensions coming and my eyelashes look great and I'm working out and like, my office is put together.
Wait,
and
what?
You know, I'm like getting in the, look at this girl, look at, I'm like, I'm fucking ready, you know?
What are you doing?
I mean, I have to be partially naked in your movie.
Yeah.
But not really. Yeah. You're not going to see
I was actually going to ask if you could show your tatas. I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, no, not for your movie, baby. I love you,
just
but
kidding. But I want you to do this.
Well, because when your wardrobe, your costumer contacted me, and they were like, "Do you have any?" I always laugh like when the question is, "Do you have any tattoos?" And like, you obviously didn't IMDb me because like I'm totally tattooed. So do you know who you're working with? You know, so it's like,
your tattoos are like, I mean, on IMDb. It's not showing your body.
No.
So you have to go to your Instagram to see your tattoos that are.
You can't. But the reason why they're on
torso.
The back is so you can't see them, you know? So as long as you don't put me in a tank top or in bed, which, you know, you just have to shoot me from the front, but with a sheet.
A sheet. They'll just put a sheet over you. Well, also, like, you know, I probably envisioned you like wearing like one of his shirts or something, you know.
Yeah.
It's not like you. Sometimes some people go to bed naked.
Spoiler alert. There's no. You don't actually see me having sex or making out or doing anything with anybody. So don't get all excited that I've got a big bedroom scene in Scout's movie.
No. It's classy. It's classy.
It's an action flick, and it's after the fact. But
we're talking so much about the movie. It's so funny.
Well, it's good.
Piece everything in together. What is this movie about? Who's in this movie?
So my new manager, who is awesome, it's just good to have the conversation going back and forth of like I don't know.
from stuff coming from other people that have ideas, you know, that have access to things that I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Or that's, you know, I want to get back into that. Like, he just messaged me about like a voiceover reel. I was like, I haven't done a video game. I haven't done a cartoon. I haven't done anything since like I'm 26.
Yeah.
Like, how am I not doing any voiceover stuff?
Well, I always wondered that though, you know, like with you, because it seemed like, you know, whenever I questioned it, it seemed like you were just really content with where you were and what you were doing. And you didn't want to do any more.
I did.
And I was always like, huh. I was like, okay, well, I mean,
I don't think I was ready.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I think this is really cool that you've like recognized, at least that you now are realizing that you want more.
Yeah.
It's cool.
I wasn't ready to not be, you know, but I can't go more than like 10 days without seeing my kids. That's like still a thing for me. Like it really needs to be.
There's a lot of actors that, you know, do per contract do like they've got to bring my kids.
Yeah. I mean, there's certain movies like that I couldn't do, like the movie that I recently signed the LOI for that I was telling you about. I couldn't do that movie with my kids around if we end up doing that movie because it's so, that character is so raw and so fucked up and so difficult that I don't think I can turn that off. When I get home, I don't know if I want to turn it off when I get home. I don't think it's healthy for me that I turn it off when I get home.
Yeah.
So to have the kids around, like I can't stay in that place. When I come home, I have to like shit gets checked at the door. And you know, I remember listening to Tom and David's episode, like they were talking about that. David was talking about that, which I never thought of, like how, because we've been doing this for so long, as soon as I'm off set, I need the drive home in the car to decompress, and then when I get to my hotel room or get to my house, I'm like me again. I'm fucking exhausted, and I have no voice, and I probably feel like I'm sick or feel like shit and need to take a shower and read my lines and go to bed, but I don't carry that, and I know you don't, you know, you don't either, and I never realized how that's like hard for some people that aren't in the business to understand how you can switch it off right away.
Yeah. Or, you know, obviously it's like a slightly different version of you. I mean, I always feel so bad that Tom is getting like the exhausting version of me a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Like more than he's getting like the happy, because we're just going through so much. You know,
I think that's the difference. Like I wonder if, like, I know you were talking last time about sort of being afraid of like parental, like letting your parents down or like parental mm-hmm. discipline and like how you would overcompensate because you didn't want them to be mad at you and leave you. And I wonder if I say it, like my ability to like shut it off is also a bad habit that I've learned from not having a, you know, the ability to be emotional because I needed to be a certain way to work.
Oh yeah.
So I wonder if that, you know, I mean, I used to remember when I broke up with boyfriends or like, you know, something tragic would happen. I would like, I would go to my car and put on a song and force myself to cry because I needed to be in private. And that's why I like driving alone after working. I don't like having a driver, like a PA driving back and forth to set because I'm still on, I'm still in work mode when I'm in the car with the driver or the transpo guy, like entertaining them or telling them stories, you know, not letting myself just go like, I don't want to talk right now. I just had a really fucking rough day where I had all these horrible things happen to me and my body's like fucked up. But maybe that's why guys go like, and girls go get drinks after work. Like that's their time because they can't go home and do that. Where I can go from that being on in the car to home and forgetting about what my day just was and going right into mom mode and not even talking about it.
God, that's so rough. I mean, it has to be like what, like a lot of these, you know, these jobs that are really hard on people, like being a nurse or being a doctor or a mortician, and like seeing all that stuff and cutting it when you're home, like none of that heavy shit had happened.
Like being a detective. Like
that's a skill.
I watch those shows and I see those homicide detectives that talk about finding kids.
Yeah. Cops. Like now that I'm prepping this movie, like seeing, like my God, like the heaviness of what the world actually is, and then going home and knowing that you ultimately want to protect your family more because you just see how sick the world is.
Hey, listen, that just reminded me. You know,
I have tons of cop friends. Like, I would say 90% of my friends in LA are police officers.
Can they get me a police station to film
in? I don't know if they could do that because there's real
can
shit
Can they
happening.
Get me an exterior police station? Just an exterior. Just
yeah,
an
maybe.
Exterior.
Maybe.
That is 30-mile radius.
Yeah, I mean.
Los Angeles. Dude, dad, I need an exterior.
I mean, I would say my
so
dad
bad.
Is the sheriff, but that will be a lie. That was in
yeah,
a movie.
Yeah, fucking say that. Say that. Wait. Let me be quiet.
I only play
say
a sheriff's movie, a sheriff's daughter in the movie. It's not
wait,
real
say it
life.
Again. Say it again.
My dad is the sheriff. My dad
Sorry,
is a
Jax.
Sheriff, so why don't you go crawl back under that fucking rock? Is that what I said at that time?
Yes!
I don't remember, something like that. But if you want to, before you work, if you want to maybe go sit in, if I could get you in a day of sitting in a police station
yeah.
and seeing how they work and move and talk to each other and kind of what their 9-to-5 looks like when they're
there. I would
there,
love that. I've been watching so many cop movies.
Have you? But is it real? Are the movies like... I mean, yeah, pretty much, right?
I guess so. I mean, to an extent, obviously. Obviously, it has to be cinematic. It's
Dude,
not going to be like...
how many cop shows have you done as an actor? How many episodics have you done on cop
so
shows?
So many. And yeah, they're the
exactly.
same thing.
It's always the same.
I feel like cops, like actual cops, it's so different. It's so different, obviously.
Yeah, it moves a lot fucking slower.
Yeah, I was going to say it takes
a really
long
fucking time. Long
I think
time
I was
to do
I was trying to
everything.
Figure out what our movie time length is, how many days our movie is. Have you figured it out?
Well,
isn't that funny?
I would say, let me think about it. How many days? It seems like it's about 8 days.
Yeah.
How many days is it?
It's 5 days.
It's 5 days. It takes place over 5 days.
Span of 5 days. I know. Okay. I was like, somebody was trying to do me, trying to tell me it was 2 days. I was like, no, that's absolutely not correct.
That's absolutely not true.
And then we got to like 4 days, but then I was like, no. So we were, all of us were getting different days. And I was like, it is 5 days. It's five
it
days.
It should be like the common denominator. Like you guys should all know how many days. It should just be in the, like, obvious.
Yeah. So one person was saying one, so then everybody
like,
was questioning.
It's day and then it's night and then it's
day
and then it's night.
It's
that's
night.
2 days.
It's
then
day,
it's day and
it's
then
day,
it's night.
It's, like, it's a little tricky. It really is. It's like a little. It's a little tricky to figure out this script. Yeah, it's gonna be a long.
I guarantee
day.
You're gonna ask Scripty how many. I don't know how many times you're gonna ask Scripty. What day is this? What day are we on? What day is this?
Oh, I know. I know.
To be able to tell the relationships and how much they know so far, you know, about each other and all of that. So where, what, who's told what on who at this point kind of situation.
Yeah. It's going to be insanity. The first week is going to be insanity because we're putting so much into the first week with our lead act, with one of our lead actors and the end of the movie. I'm like, okay, if I can survive those 3 fucking days,
you just
we
gotta
got
get
this.
Through it.
Then I'm like, this is, but we've got 2 days of like chilling. By chilling, I mean just we've got to figure out what those days are based off of locations. That's why I can't give you a date yet. I can't. Right now you're scheduled for the first day, but now my diner fell through. So now I got to go find you another fucking diner. Daniel.
I wish I could help you with that, but I can't.
Dude, ask your cop friends if any of them would let us do an exterior half day.
Yeah.
But I also would love to chime in on with them.
I will ask.
It'd be great.
I will ask. You actually met my friend. One of my friends, Sergeant, came to Texas with us. Remember?
Yeah.
He's a big fucking, big dude.
Yeah, I love it. He's great. You have questions over there, don't you?
I have.
People wrote in. I saw a couple of people wrote
in.
I took a
picture, actually.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
I'll just read, Hi Danielle and Scout. I was wondering what type of prep work you do for psychological roles. For example, your respective characters in Halloween 2, like Laurie's breakdown at the therapist or the trauma Annie has, or even your respective roles in 247 Fahrenheit. Did I say that right? 247? Mm-hmm. And Daylight, where you're dealing with an intense environment. It's always been one of the biggest aspects of acting for me is the psychology of getting into certain intense roles and scenes. That's interesting because that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
What's your movie 247 Fahrenheit about?
That, for just filming purposes, was more traumatizing than what the actual fucking movie was about. So that's the movie that I shot in Tbilisi, Georgia, which is right outside of Russia, which is pretty much just Russia. And I shot that with Tyler Mane called me up and was like, hey, I've got this movie in Russia. Do you want to come do it? And I said, yeah. And never again.
What happened?
What happened? So when a war breaks out, or the threat of a war breaks out between those countries, they go to the studios. They go to where the filming happens, where the news station is. And that's where our location was. And one day we were doing a scene and all of a sudden our producer starts coming in screaming Russian and telling us to like, get down. Like, we need to leave. And I'm like, you know, Tyler's not in that day. I'm like, what is going on? Like, what's happening? And I turn a corner and there are fucking guns pointed at my face. A bunch of men with fucking guns, soldiers, guns, screaming Russian at me. And I'm like this.
Oh my
in
God.
My fucking bathing suit. In a bathing suit thing. With like all these other actors.
Of course you are.
Yeah, dude, of course. Yeah, me. Hopefully we don't experience this on my set. But so, and then they're yelling at me. And my producer's like, just listen to them. We need to get you out of here. We need to get you out of here to safety. And I'm leaded up these stairs. We're going up these stairs. I haven't been like up, you know, and we get to the top of the building and there is a fucking plank going from this building to the next building. And we are ordered to walk across it.
Well, they held you up by gunpoint and told you to walk the plank. Were there alligators in the water below? That's what I want to know.
Like, what is this? Like, what is this?
So wait, so the soldiers that came in, were they like trying to protect you, or were they trying
to
kill
you? They were trying
to
protect us, but
okay. But sure, you didn't fucking know because there's a gun at your face.
Sure didn't know that at that point. And so there was a massive like protest, like threat of a war. And so the entire rest of the shoot, we had essentially SWAT men outside of our
Oh my God.
And the studio. So every time I'd open my trailer, there'd be like fucking 10 fucking dudes just laying against it with guns.
So what was that conversation with Tyler like?
Oh, you want to know what that conversation was?
Yeah.
Tyler, what the fuck is happening? What is going on? I was so upset because he was like, he got me on this and he was like a producer. It was the only
time
that Tyler and I have fought.
He's like chilling in his fucking hotel room.
It was the only time. He's like, I don't know. I was like, Tyler, you need to get me the fuck out of here.
The things you do for your friends.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Tyler was, it was the only time we've ever like yelled at each other. The only time.
Could you imagine Scout calling Tyler Mane, you guys? Being like, fuck you. There's guns. There's fucking guys with guns pointing at my face and you're in your fucking hotel room. Where's Renee?
Oh my God, that's funny. That was the first phone call that I got to Tyler yelling at him. The second phone call was, I think I shared this story. Oh God, it was Travis Van Winkle. Van Winkle, is that how you say his last name? He's from like You. He's done a bunch of stuff. Michael Coupon as well. So apparently, I don't know what it is there. I don't think they don't have a president, right? It's someone that was like in high power there. Okay. that was interested in the movie. Oh. And this man, like, everyone knew who this guy was. Everyone. And so he invited us out one night. And it was me and the two guys and another girl. And so we go out with the producer and this mysterious billionaire man. And we're in his car. And all of a sudden, he just starts, like, speeding, like fucking Mario Kart. Like Mario Kart on the streets.
He's driving you?
Yes, he's driving us.
He doesn't have
he's
a driver?
Like speeding. And then the back goes up. The seats go... It's like a fucking, like, Mario Kart. Like, the seats just pivot. And you can, like, see outside. And the fucking trunk is, like, open. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then all of a sudden there's cops, trying to stop him. And they pull up to his window, to his passenger side or his driver's side window. And as soon as they see him, they all just hold back. They all just go back. They just disappear. They turn off their lights and they just disappear because they know who this fucking power man is. Like the craziest shit, Danielle, the craziest shit. And so he takes us to dinner, which is great. It's fine. He buys all this stuff, this expensive stuff.
So tell me how. So the question was, what do you do to get in prep for those kinds of roles?
So to answer your question, I take every offer that Tyler Mane has given me because the experience on set just gets me ready. it's interesting because I feel like I relate and do better and do my best work when things are
chaotic
and intense. Yeah. So I think that just has something to say is me as a human and what I can pull from and what I can relate to. If you ask me to do a fucking comedy, I'm like shitting myself. I'm
me too.
Peeing my pants.
Yep, me too.
I can't. You want me to hit beats?
Done a comedy since fucking 1992. You're talking to me like, hello. It's horrible. It's the worst. But that's the only one because they asked me to. I wouldn't have like booked it or gotten it. Like I only got on the Roseanne in the beginning because she offered it to me because I was doing a drama with her.
Oh my God.
You know,
what would
I had
you
no
do?
Idea what I was doing.
What would you do if you like got attached to a comedy and you were like, great, my series I get is a comedy.
You know what? I could do it if it was a single camera.
Yeah.
Single camera comedy, no problem. Like, I think that's fun. That kind of stuff is super fun. I always have fun with those auditions anyway. But the multi-camera shows, yeah, I can't do that. It's a fear of not remembering my lines. And then I can't be funny or hit the beats because I can't remember my fucking lines.
Yeah. I think that's really hard. That's really scary. And then also, like, medical shows. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's too much.
That is a fucking skill. Like you literally have to be on one of those shows for 3 years before you can get comfortable.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. That. Easily.
You know?
Easily 3 years. You've got to be sweating your balls off for 3 years that you could get fired because you just are not good at your job because you can't. You're not smart enough to pronounce. We're actors. Like,
dude.
How many actors are smart enough to fucking pronounce half the shit they have to say on television?
Yeah, same.
How many times have you had to go? What was it like before the internet when you had to call people and ask them what certain words meant? Oh, you're younger than me.
Look
you
up
might
in
not
the dictionary.
Know.
Pull out my school book dictionary when I was
and
a kid
like,
to
what
look
is
up
this
the
word.
Word
mean?
Oh my God, I would. It would be so dreadful if I went up to my mom and I was like, "How do you say this word? I don't know how to say it.
How about I would just go ask in the room?
Oh my God, would you?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
sometimes
do you
I
say
would
it like
too.
This or say it like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they would tell me, and then when I would read it, I would say the opposite. And then I'd be like,
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
sorry, I forgot it. I'm so sorry. I know you just told me, let me do it again. I'm like, wait, that wasn't right. Wait, can I start over again? Yeah. It wasn't right.
I'm that way when I'm on set. If you change a fucking word on me.
Yeah.
If you change a word on me, you cannot change a word on me. I've already memorized it.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last movie I did with him, they were trying to change the school that I went to the town, in the city. I was like, no.
Yeah, I can't.
No. We live there now.
Or how about when Scripty gets on and goes, or director says, okay, so it's this line.
And?
And then you'll be like, and then I'll always like, what did I say? No, 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 never mind. Don't tell me. Don't tell me what I said because I'm going to fucking say it again. I don't want to hear it. Okay, I got it. I'll hear it. And then I'll say what I had said before. And then I'm like, oh, that's what I said. Duh.
God,
okay.
it's so funny when I see, when you're on a set with someone, because I've been there so many times, when you're on a set with someone and they have gotten in their head mm-hmm. about not knowing a line or getting messed up. You just see the panic
spiral down,
just grow and grow and grow. And I wish there was a fucking pill. I wish there was something for that.
There is. It's called a Xanax.
Okay. Me, this would be me on a Xanax. Scout.
So I had two movies in the last 2 years that I had a panic moment.
Mm-hmm.
One, for sure, it was this movie Flesh that I did with Serena and Tiffany. Hopefully it actually comes out because I think it's my best work that I've done in a very long time.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully the producers will work it out, but who knows. And they just switched the order of the day around. So I knew that I had a ton of stuff to do that day, and I knew that the big, big, big scene was going to be at the end of the day. So I was like, cool. So I'll have it like three quarters down because I barely had enough room to remember the shit I had for the first half of the day. So I'm like, I'll just need to get through this, and I'll keep working on this one throughout the day, mm-hmm. and then I'll have half an hour at lunch. I'll be able to like cement it in my mind, and that scene after lunch was small, so I'm like, I don't have to worry about that. I only have like three or four lines, and then I'll be able to dive into this, you know, like the seventh hour. And they switched it. We need to, something happened. So that was going to be first up. So I wasn't prepared. It was a huge scene that I thought I had all day to get down. And it was all me talking, so there's nothing that anyone could even help. There's not even cross-dialogue where I could be tipped off to what the next paragraph might be about. And I sat there, and I just had to take it in sections. And I had to spread my pages, my script, all over the floor below me. And I would take beats, and I would look down, and I would read, like, the paragraph in my head, and then I'd let them know when I look up, I'm ready. So they had to literally piece it together,
shit.
Like, section by section by section by section.
How did you feel after that?
I kept apologizing to everybody.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm so sorry, you guys. Like, I don't ever forget my lines. This is just, like, I just felt like an amateur fucking actor that didn't come to work prepared. And that was not the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not the actor that had, you know, 2 months before to, you know, we get the job 5 days before sometimes.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the time to like really dig my feet into something. Like, so watching this movie that I was talking about when we started the show, I just wonder how long they had this project for and what the process was like preparing for this, because there's so much dialogue and it's so specific, yet it feels like it's ad-libbed.
Yeah.
I don't know what's written and what's not. It's that fucking good. So I aspire to be able to be that kind of actress, and I hope that I have the time, or maybe I hope that I find a role or get offered a role or book a role on my own that is challenging, where I want to go back to what it feels like to be like a fucking actor and do my craft and do not just show up and be like, I got this, you know, like I'm going to show up on your movie and be like, I got this. This is like me. I could just bring me, be me, put me in the situation, and that's it. But it's to be something else. I feel like all the movies I've done, if I watch them, they're all parts of just me. I haven't created a character that's like different than how I am. It's how I would react in that situation. And I'm not much different on screen than I am in real life. So I don't think, but maybe that's why I just keep taking these roles that are given, because they are easy, because I don't have
to
put myself through all of that.
Well, it's only opportunity that we do get, especially when we fall into these genre films, you know?
And they're fucking great roles.
The only things that come to us.
But like, I know like that's how people see me. So that's the stuff that I get offered.
Yeah.
So when I read it, I'm like, but I want to do that. Or I want to do that.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good that you're like pushing that muscle. Going back to like how you prep and it's interesting because, you know, as I was saying that we only get genre offers, because that's how like when people see us, it's been really nice that I've made these connections and that I'm getting offers to do like a rom-com from this person and like a Lifetime sort of movie from this one, and then like an action from this one. But it's definitely a different muscle. It's not a muscle like genre movies are, they're so
it's very specific.
Easy. Yeah, they're so easy to me because we've been doing it so long and so
that's
many
your
of
job.
Them. Yeah. So it's like I know how to
know
do that
beats.
In my sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I know all the beats. I don't have to think about it. I know all the beats. I've had people on set ask me like, okay, it's my first death scene. Like, can you like help me? What
can,
do I
can
do?
Can you help me? Yeah.
And you're
how
like,
do I
oh,
do this?
Well, yeah, do this. You know, like, well, what's you know, where are they filming and how's it going to, what's your prosthetic
I
look
love
like?
Helping
how do you
people
die?
On set.
Me too.
I love
it's
helping
fun.
People on set. I really do. And I'm very honored when people come, especially like even when it's something so silly as like getting strangled or,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yes.
They're like, can you show me how to do that. Like my girlfriend, Katie Stevens, I mean, she's from like every fucking TV show. She called me because she was doing her first horror movie like a few years back. And she was like, is there any tips that you can give me? Because this is like your world. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's really cool for you to even say. Right. But anyways, going back to like script reading and like line memorization, because all of that, like rom-coms and all of that stuff, dialogue is how the movie goes forward.
Right.
Lots of dialogue. Yeah. It's all dialogue. So my memorization is not as fast, and it has never been fast. I'm the person that like needs like a few days to prep it. I will, once I get like the day-to-days, I will literally go in order of the day-to-day, and I will memorize the entire, at least like I'll like, you know, save some scenes that I can memorize on the day that are easy, and I'll check how many scenes I have to memorize in the script. And sometimes, you know, it'll be like 10 to like 18. And so I will go in order and I will literally spend 3 days prior to my first day, maybe even more if I have that luxury, memorizing in order.
Yeah.
And
but then they change the schedule.
But I will memorize. I will memorize the entire fucking movie in that week to 3 days before filming just so I'm prepared. Because I know
I just need
that.
To get the words in my head. I
just
need to get the words
head.
In my head
so
before
that
I go to bed. I got to be able to like have a general idea of, you know, I got to read it like one or two times off book before I go to sleep that night to make sure like I kind of got it, and then go to bed and I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's good.
It's really
good.
Interesting.
That's
it's really,
good.
It's really interesting. So yeah, so I guess that's how we prep for it. The psychological part of it has to come in the moment. We can't you can't prepare yourself for
can't
what you're going to feel. It just depends on the other actor, and that's the beauty of horror movies. Like there's no rehearsal for that stuff. There's no like you can't.
Usually you only have one take anyways.
Yeah, because you've got to deal.
Yo, this squib is going to only go once.
We only have one shirt, and
pump,
you can't get blood on
this,
it.
Yeah, this pump is we got one take, baby. That's
one
it.
Take,
that's
and
all
you, can't
you got.
Be, you can't have any blood on your shirt because we couldn't afford a double, even though it was $4 on Amazon. And you have to be stabbing a person. So don't get any blood on you.
That was me talking to my wardrobe, Jacob, about this movie. He was like,
I told him I'll bring my own shoes, by the way.
Okay. I literally just texted him. I said, hey, we need height in Danielle's sneakers or her boots. Like, we need some height. Just because
I said I'll bring my boots.
I was like, our men are tall.
Yeah.
Our men are tall.
Yeah. I was like, the only thing that I'm like, you know, I am concerned with is that
I
need to feel more comfortable is to give me, like, don't put me in fucking Keds. Don't put me in Keds.
Yeah.
I'm
told
a waitress.
Because like, obviously like, the diner, you'd be wearing sneakers or combat boots or something. So yeah. I was like, just make sure you get something with like a lift. Also,
I mean, I was like, I would probably wear my cowboy boots, you know?
Yeah. I have heel inserts that I use from time to time. I have they're little fucking heel inserts that go into your shoe.
Huh.
That you it's amazing. They come in all different like sizes.
Oh, that's
I'm like,
interesting.
Oh, this is really interesting. I've worn them to a couple of auditions. You know, like when I have to play a fucking police officer, and I'm like, I'm going up against 5'7", 5'8" chicas, and I'm fucking 5'3".
You're telling me. You know what I mean? How I fucking horrible that was for me. I was so happy when bell bottom jeans came back in because I could wear giant platforms. But then I remember sitting down once, crossing my legs. I had big old 5-inch platform sandals on, and the cast director was like, "Wow, how tall are you without those shoes?"
Oh god!
And I was like, "Son of a bitch!" The one time I just had to stand and cross my legs. If I was standing, you wouldn't see how high the fucking heel was because I used to lie and say I was 5'3".
Yeah. Like, well, you can tell Jacob that too. Like, you know, the one scene where you're actually wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
You can tell him, you know.
I'll bring my shoe. I was like, don't worry about it. I'll bring it. Don't worry.
I know, but he was so worried. He was like, there's a lot of blood in this, so I need multiple of a lot of things. I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're an hour, babe.
Wow.
Yeah. That was a good episode. I hope it recorded.
I hope it did too.
Oh, man. Okay. It's so funny.
All right, I got to go take my kids to the dentist.
Oh, fun. Yes. Fun. Have fun. Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. Don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on all the social medias, and submit your questions to podcast@talkscaredtome.com.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Bye.